Well, first up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, I am delighted to introduce to you the Grand Poobah of Cornerstone Claim Services. He's an author and an expert in claim services. His name is Russell Longcore. Welcome to the show, Russell.
Thank you, Stone. It's great to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man, and I love that name, Longcore. It's like Chief Running Deer or, you know, Wild Spirit or whatever. Is there a story behind that name? Is it a stage name?
What's it's an anglicized German name, and here's the joke that God played on me. For you folks that can't see me, I have almost no hair on the top of my head. And the German word for Longcore is L-A-N-G-H-A-A-R, Langhaar, which means long hair. Now, I don't know what God was thinking, but he's chuckling a lot about my name.
God loves those good German names.
Yeah, I guess you do, don't you, Mr.
You would,
Schnick.
Mr. Schnick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, Russell, you're an author. You've got this new book out, Insurance Claim Secrets Revealed. What in the world compelled you to write a book, and why now?
I was compelled to write the book. It was almost like a dare from a friend. He was an internet marketer. He and I were talking, and he said, and I said to him, "What can I do to make some extra money using the abilities that I have and the knowledge that I have?" And he said, "Well, how long have you been doing this?" I said, "Like 15 years." He said, "Maybe you should write a book." And I said, "Okay, I've never thought about writing a book before. I don't think I could write a book before." But he said, "Well, yeah, but realistically, if you don't know that you can write a book, you can probably write a book." So he said, "Take what you know and make a book out of it." So I sat down with a legal pad and started fleshing out a list of chapters, and that turned interesting really quickly. When I was planning to write the book, I was planning to just have it as a guide to consumers to say, "Here's what you ought to do if you have a claim, and here's how you ought to do your claim." What it turned out to be was in kind of an insider tell-all about the insurance industry that I've come to know over 20 plus years, and so I got myself in deep hot water with the insurance industry when I wrote this book, and here's the story, and if you don't mind if I go a little bit longer, when I finished the manuscript, I gave it to some friends, trusted business associates, to review it. And, you know, "Please look at it. Tell me if I'm crazy. Tell me if you don't understand anything." And to a person, they came back to me and said, "This is a great book. We love it. But you must be out of your mind if you think you can stay in the insurance business and have this book with your name on it." So I chose a nom de plume, which was R. David Murphy, which is a family name. But there was nothing in the book that would have ever lent anybody to know that I had anything to do with this book. But I was working for a company as an executive adjuster, and I went to the president with my book in the other guy's name that I'd chosen, and said, "Look, I don't want you guys to sometime in the future find out that I wrote this book. So I'm disclosing it to you now." And he said, "God love you. It's terrific. Fantastic." By the next day, I got called into the president and vice president's office. And they said, "You can't have that book out in the world if you're going to work here." And I said, "Well, I promise you then, as long as I work here, I will not release this book because I'm self-publishing. I am the publisher. And I won't release the book." And from that day, which was the 16th day of December of 2007, from that day forward, another 3 months, I never got another claim. And at the end of that time, they said, "Gee, Russ, you know, we're really slow. And we really need to lay you off, and we're really sorry."
They freed up your future,
up my future. Now, the funny thing about it is, you know, that I guess they covered themselves, and that's fine. But realistically, when clients and insureds and policyholders would call in then over the next couple of weeks and say, "May I speak to Mr. Longcore?" And they'd say, "Well, he no longer works here." And they'd say, "Why?" And he said, "Well," and the secretary was told to tell them that I had been caught doing something that I wasn't supposed to do.
And, so what's in this book that they're so threatened by? Give us an example of some things in here that's got them so antsy.
It probably means it benefits the consumer if they're so threatened by it.
Well, yeah, it really does. The subtitle of the book is "Take Control of Your Insurance Claims and Add Hundreds or Even Thousands More Dollars to Your Claim Settlements Most of the devil of the details of any insurance claim are found in the claims process. And the claims process is nowhere to be found in a policy. So consequently, insureds can look at their policy and say, okay, I have to do X, Y, and Z to do the claim. But the insurance company has their own particular ways of doing things, and they sometimes are kind of bullies. So so that's the reason that my my book is out there, and to say, okay, if the insurance company says this, it's crap, it's not in your policy, there are other things that you can do.
Now, is this specific to any particular thing? Is it auto? Is it home? Is it all of the above?
This one is primarily targeted toward property claims.
Property claims.
Which are the things you said, the homeowners and the business claims and the mostly on the consumer side. I've written another book called Commercial Insurance Claim Secrets Revealed that came out November 9th, 2009, which just deals with business losses.
Now, apart from reading this book, how does a consumer protect themselves? How do they get the fine print if it's not in their policy? Because I think a majority of people don't ever read their policy.
Well, the majority of people don't read their policy even after they have a loss. They don't really read their policy much. They call the insurance company, the adjuster comes out, and they pretty much do whatever the adjuster tells them to do. Unfortunately, the adjuster in every case works for the insurance company, whether he's an adjuster that's on their staff or whether he's an adjuster like I used to be, which was an independent.
He's not really your good neighbor, like it says on the TV. He's working for the company, right?
But a lot of adjusters are on contract, so they're on call, and if they sub out, that's how that works.
Yes, but
they're not
the
your
insurance
friend.
Company is paying their fee, so who are they going to be loyal to? Not you, the consumer.
So what do you look for in an adjuster? How do you tell a good one from a bad one? Do you have any choice in the matter and say, I don't want this adjuster, send me another one? How does that piece work?
Well, curiously, Stone, there is some ability for an insured to throw a little fit and get a different adjuster. What I tell people is that if you have an adjuster, first of all, that comes out to your house and he's got less than 2 years of experience, you should say, you know, love you to death, sir, you're a really nice person, but you don't know enough about this business to do my claim. Now, that may not be for everybody, but that's my rule of thumb. If you get an adjuster that has less than 2 years of experience, insist from the insurance company that you get a more seasoned adjuster.
And you're allowed to do that.
They don't like it much, but if you complain about it and you're really serious about it and they don't do it, then you should call the Department of Insurance and register a complaint against the insurance company.
And we say the same thing about radio hosts, right?
Well,
if they don't have 2 years' experience, don't fool with them.
Forget it.
Of course, of course. But that's what the Department of Insurance does for you, is affords those kinds of protections.
Yes,
and they
are.
Can be your advocate on a situation like
yes,
that. Bobby, I always wonder, what the heck does the Department of Insurance do for me? But that's one answer.
They regulate the insurance companies, and they also perform that consumer function.
So there's a ton of information in here about what to do after I've had a loss and now I've got to go through this claim process. Sounds like there's a lot of good advice. Is there some advice in this book on what I should do now, to prepare ahead of time before a loss, some things I can do to shore up and maybe mitigate some future risk?
Sure. Excellent question, Stone. One of the things that we suggest is to, first of all, go to your junk drawer, wherever that might be, where you've kept your policy, because most people don't keep it in the lock box or something like that. It's just thrown somewhere, and they may or may not know where it is. But get the thing out and actually read it. It's written mostly these days in the vernacular. It's not mostly legalese like it used to be 30 years ago. But even though that, I mean, there are clauses that, you know, it's like the large print giveth and the fine print taketh away, and you really need to know those things now.
I like that.
before things go in the pooper. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but I just did.
We'll bleep it out. Don't worry about
okay.
it.
Yes, read your policy. Understand what you can. If you don't understand something, go to your agent. Get an explanation. Make sure that your coverage is correct for what you're insuring.
Is there a resource to go to? Let's say you read your policy and you don't understand it. Maybe you don't want to ask the agent for that insurance for clarification, because they may not necessarily want to tell you everything you want to know. Is there a place you can go to get information about, hey, does this look right? Does this look fair?
You can go to the Department of Insurance. There are some publications there that explain things a little bit better, but mostly about the only thing, I hate to say this because it sounds self-serving, but this book is about the only thing that's out there that will tell you how policies work.
Yeah, don't hate saying that. That's what the book is for, correct?
I understand that, but...
Yeah. And what about a lawyer? Should you get a lawyer if it's a substantial loss?
I suggest in my book that any time you get a loss of any kind, you should be consulting a lawyer.
Of any kind.
Any kind. Here's the reason, Todd. The insurance policy is a legal contract, and it's a legal contract between you and the insurance company, and there are things in there that are prejudicial. Now, the law says for a long time is that this is a contract of adhesion, so it's like the tie goes to the runner in baseball. So that if there's a complaint or any kind of a dispute, then it should go in the favor of the insured, not in favor of the company. But even at that, there are all kinds of different things that you can do to compromise your rights as a claimant and a policyholder. For example, one of the things that happens regularly with a claim, whether it's an automobile claim or a homeowner claim or anything like that, is that an adjuster will call you or come to your house with a recorder and say, I want to take a recorded statement from you. Well, that's normal and it's okay, but it's insane for you to do as an insured to just do this without at least talking to your attorney. I suggest that you tell that adjuster, yes, I'd love to do that. That's fine. I'll be happy to do it, but we'll either do it as a conference call with my attorney listening in, or we do it in his office with him present. Adjusters are trained to ask questions that ferret out problems that the insurance companies can deny, or they can deny the claim based on those problems. So if you get caught by an adjuster who's more clever than you are, and you say something that you don't even know what you said, they can deny the claim based on that statement, and you have problems. So you should not do that.
But for any kind of a loss, even if a little windstorm and you break a window, I mean, your recommendation is to get legal help or guidance on every single.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, I do. Here's the other reason is that the forms that the insurance company are going to send you are legal documents.
Sure.
And if you don't have an insurance or if you don't have an attorney, look at your legal documents before you sign it, you are taking a risk once again.
How come 99% of the world's people don't do these kinds of things? I mean, they just don't know? I mean, they haven't read the book, or it's just amazing to me how many people don't do these things and don't take the time to read these policies. What else can we be doing to help educate people and advocate that they do these things? What else is there to do?
Most people don't read them because they've either been told or they found out on their own that they're somewhat complicated, and they're in the trust mode. They have a nice agent, and the agent is very personable and says, man, I'm going to take care of you. There's no problem. We got this handled. And agents lie.
You heard it here first, right here on the High Velocity Radio Show. Agents lie.
Agents lie. First of all, an agent is only licensed to sell stuff. They're not licensed to have anything to do with the claims department or the claims process. There's an entirely different license for insurance claims adjusters. So if your adjuster says, oh, we'll take care of you, don't worry about it, we got this, he can't really help you.
So other than the prospect of losing money or not getting what you really deserve, if you don't know what you're doing, you go into this blindly, you trust the wrong people, can you get into trouble, legal trouble or anything like that in the claims process as well?
Well, Stone, you can certainly get into trouble with the amount that you're going to collect from the insurance company. The insurance company's mission is not to be nice. The insurance company's mission is to maximize the profit for their stockholders.
It is a business.
It is a business.
And
I'm
business.
Totally okay with that. Their mission is to pay the least amount of money to any policyholder claimant that policyholder or claimant will accept. And the policyholder and claimant has just the opposite goal, which is to get the absolute most, the absolute maximum based on the terms and conditions of their policy. So you've got cross purposes across a negotiating table. And if you don't know the way that they do things and how to step up, then you're going to get less money in your claim than you could get if you just know what to do.
What is a public adjuster? Do people need one?
Good question. A public adjuster is an adjuster who doesn't work for the insurance company side. They work for the policyholder. Now, a public adjuster is different than what I do. My business, Cornerstone Claim Services, used to be an independent adjusting company, and I work for the company side. But obviously, they don't like that anymore, so they don't send me any work. But what happens with my book is people will do Google searches for insurance claims help. They'll find my book. They'll buy it, read it, figure out how badly screwed they're being, and they call me. And they say, oh, my gosh, I've got a horrible, terrible problem. What do I do? And I do insurance claims consulting now on an hourly basis. So what was the question?
Question was public adjuster.
Public adjuster, thank you. Public adjuster is different because a public adjuster represents the insured policyholder to the insurance company and negotiates on their behalf. These are claims professionals. Most of them came out of the claims process like I did and just looked at, you know, over a period of time, they said, oh, we're tired of screwing people and we want to go on the other side. It's kind of like a personal injury attorney that used to be a prosecutor. You know, those are the wonderful guys in the legal field. But a public adjuster will, they know all the policies, they know how to read it, they know how to conduct a claim, and they know how to negotiate. And most insureds don't have any of those.
I mean, so this is someone you should go to if you say, I need to get a new policy, but I don't know where to start, so I want to talk to one of these people, and they can give me some advice.
Well, it's a good idea because the public adjusters, if they did nothing else, would say, well, look, here are the three or four companies that give us most of our work. They're the worst ones possibly on the claim side. And so you should probably stay away from them.
So they're not tied to any company?
No, they work on a fee basis. And, for example, if your house burned down, God help you, they would come to you and say, we will represent you to the insurance company and we'll maximize your claim. And they get a fee based on the amount of the money that they collect from the insurance company.
But in your experience, that fee is well worth it because of the expertise you're getting.
Yes, not only that, but characteristically, the fee is pretty much buried in the amount of money over and above which a public adjuster will get from the insurance company that the insurance company doesn't want to pay. Let me give you an example of what that means. You have a loss. The insurance company says it's worth $200,000. The public adjuster does his work, and you get $260,000. Now that brings me to a point, and this is something that everybody should understand. Everything in a claim is negotiable. Don't let anybody tell you that something is not negotiable. Everything is negotiable. And that's one of the reasons that public adjusters are so important, is that they understand that and that everything is negotiable. And they negotiate on your behalf to get the maximum amount of money for you. And then they take their fee from that. And you'll end up with more money on the net side than you would if you just rely upon the insurance company and trust them to pay you your claim.
I like it, man. How can our listeners get in touch with you, find out more about this information, and get a copy of your book?
Well, one of the things that they can do is go to Amazon.com. My book is there. It has been the number one book on insurance claims continuously since October of 2007 at Amazon. So love to have you go to Amazon, but if you want to go to our website, it's www.claimsecrets.com. That's claimsecrets.com.
Well, Russell, before we let you go, we have a little tradition here on the High Velocity Radio Show. We like to ask each guest, if they would, to share a mistake that they've made at some point in their career, and really, more importantly, what they feel like they learned from it. Could we get you to do that for us?
Sure. I'll go back to the story that I said when I wrote this book and wrote it in, I should have never, ever, under any circumstances, disclosed to the company that I was working for that I had this book and that it was going to be released under a nom de plume. Should have never told them that kind of stuff.
So, but really, it was a blessing in disguise, don't you think?
Well, it was, but at the time I thought it was a horrible mistake simply because I got let go and a six-figure income went to kablooey in a big hurry. But over a period of time, over the last 3 years, it's been a blessing in disguise because it's created for me a great consulting business. I've been on radio and TV all over the United States promoting the book. The consulting business is extremely rewarding in that, you know, I make a huge difference in the lives and the claims of the people that I serve. And it's also forced me to get into some other business pursuits that I never would have gotten into if I'd have just stayed a salaried guy.
Well, there you go. So maybe it was a mistake, maybe it wasn't. And even if you do make mistakes, you can certainly profit from them and leverage them into something else.
That's right. I wouldn't change a thing. I thought it was a mistake at the time, but I wouldn't change a thing now.